Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis. Glad to be with you. Let's open our Bibles together, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think it'd be really helpful if you, even if you grab that Bible in front of you there. Page 1182 will bring you to our text if you're less familiar. I think it's really important if you have God's Word right in front of you as we read it, God the Holy Spirit will teach us and challenge us and encourage us. Having the Word of God is what it's really all about today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The man I'm describing to you was born in England in the year 1494. When he was young, he had the great privilege of attending Oxford University, where he mastered seven languages, including ancient Hebrew and Greek. One day, while he was visiting Cambridge University, he met an evangelical Christian, and his spiritual life was forever changed. Soon, the passion of his heart became studying the Bible, and the more he studied, the more he absolutely loved it, and he wanted others to study it too, especially the common English villager that he had become very, very familiar with in his growing up years. But a major obstacle stood in the way of fulfilling that desire. You see, at that time in England, it was against the law to translate the Bible into English for a commoner to read. Well, this man decided to violate that law. So he moved to France and, with the use of the newly invented printing press, published 6,000 copies of the New Testament in English and smuggled them back into England. When the Roman Church discovered it, they were enraged, confiscated the books, and burned them all. As a result of his actions, he became a hunted man, and for 10 years lived a bit of a cloak and dagger kind of existence, suffering defamation and betrayal. In 1535, he was kidnapped, and at the age of 42, was strangled to death, and his body burned at the stake. John Fox, in his famous Book of Martyrs, records this man's dying words, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." The man's name? William Tyndale. You ever heard of him? I thought of this great man of God during my preparation for our time together, wondering why he would sacrifice his life to get the scriptures into the hands of people to read. Well, I discovered the answer is that William Tyndale lived with the same conviction we hold here at Emmanuel Faith Community Church. From our statement of faith, we read, "We believe this scripture, both Old and New Testament, to be God's written word. The Bible's human authors, with their distinct personalities and styles, were inspired by God and carried along by the Holy Spirit to choose the exact words God intended to communicate to humankind. Scripture was without error in the original writings and is completely truthful in all that it addresses. Therefore, it is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms. It is to be obeyed as God's command in all that it requires and embraced in all that it promises. The Bible is the only rule for faith and practice. We affirm that the person and work of Jesus Christ is the central focus of the entire Bible." Beloved, our conviction is that this book, the one you might have in your hands, the electronic copy you have on a phone or a tablet, whatever the condition of it, when consistently applied, the principles that it contains, when we put them into practice in our lives, they provide the solution to every spiritual problem humanity will ever face. And during our time together, I'd like to explain from 2 Timothy chapter 3 why we believe that so strongly and commit ourselves here at Emmanuel Faith to being people of the book. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before we dig into the specifics, let me just remind you of the historic context. Chapter 3 in this letter that Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy is a warning about spiritual apostasy. It's very, very clear. In chapter 3, Paul reveals how bad it's going to get, this abandonment of religious virtue, of moral principle, right before the Lord returns to the earth. See it in chapter 3, verse 1. This will set our context and launch us into our study. Paul writes in verse 1, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." That little phrase, last days, in the Bible refers to an extended period of time that culminates when Jesus returns to the earth. So it's a real long period. Well, Paul predicts that as we get closer to that event, there will be more and more seasons of difficulty, of trouble, of terrible times for believers. It's going to get worse, Paul says. And then in verses 2 through 9, he listed the negative characteristics that will describe that coming time, that terrible difficulty, especially the rise of false teachers. And Paul describes them in verse 13 as evil men and imposters. So during this last days period, many religious but wicked charlatans will appear. And what they're going to lead people away from the truth. Since according to verse 13, these teachers are deceiving and being deceived. In other words, they're going to go down a theological rabbit hole that they themselves have jumped down and draw other people with them down that rabbit hole. Now, what were these evil men and imposters teaching that was so terrible? Well, from the context, we understand that they were denying some of the core, essential teachings of what we would call Orthodox Christianity. They were adding things to the equation of salvation. We believe that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They would say, no, that's not right. And they added things that you had to do. In addition to that, they were also questioning the resurrection of the body and when it happened. So what we're talking about is some of the essential doctrines that every follower of Christ holds to. Hear me clearly, we're not talking about disagreements on issues that many Christians have differing opinions on. We're talking about the core that everybody who claims the name of being a follower of Christ, that we all agree to. Now, with that stated, and in light of the pessimistic prediction, Paul has a very severe warning for Pastor Timothy. Verse 14, he says this, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." So in direct contrast to the evil men and imposters, Timothy was to follow the spiritual pathway that he had learned from Paul, from others. He had a very, very godly mother by the name of Eunice, and a very godly grandmother by the name of Lois. So Paul says, continue on and follow what you have learned. Now, what had they taught them? Taught him? Verse 15. And that from childhood, from infancy, you have known the sacred writings. In this context, that's a reference to the 39 books of the Old Testament. The New International Version translates it as Holy Scripture, since Paul uses that term down in verse 16, all Scripture here. In this context, it refers primarily to the Old Testament. We now expand that title, Sacred Writing, Holy Scripture, to include the New Testament, because that's what Peter says of Paul's writing. We see it in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, you know, Paul writes some stuff that's really hard to understand. And we would all agree with that. But he says, some of those things that are hard to understand, he said, the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. So Peter says, Paul is writing scripture, these sacred writings that he's giving. And therefore, when we see the term scripture, we know that it refers to both Old and New Testament together, what we would call our Bible. Now, in light of the series that we're in, what sets our sacred writings apart from all the other sacred writings? What makes it different than the Quran? What makes it different than the Book of Mormon? The teachings of Buddha? The Bhagavad Gita of the Hindus? The writings of L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology? The mystical writings of the Jewish religion Kabbalah? What sets the Bible apart? Well, in our culture today, most people would say nothing. Because most in our culture today would say every sacred writing has a little bit of God's truth in it. But no sacred writing has all the truth. I would tell you, it is our conviction that that's not true. It's our conviction that this Bible, Old and New Testament here, has all the truth. Why? Because of its truth claim, down in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. Both Old and New Testament, inspired by God. The NIV translates that word inspired as God breathed, and that's a literal translation of the Greek term. And I like it better than inspired, because some might understand inspired that God found some writings by a woman or a man and then inspired what was already written. That's not what the Bible says about itself. The Bible simply tells us that God spoke to mankind, and what came out were his very words. Thus our conviction. The Bible's truths didn't originate with humans, but with God himself, and he breathed them out. That's what sets it apart. It's this claim. And that's why we read so often throughout the scriptures that the word of the Lord came to the prophet. She or he didn't make it up. It came through the prophet. The Apostle Paul says, this is where I got my teaching. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. God spoke and it came through me. See? And thus, even Jesus himself, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from where? The mouth of God, see? So what sets this book apart is its divine origin. God breathed it out. How did he do it? Well, by the Holy Spirit, who actively communicated and then superintended the human writing of the scriptures. And the Bible explains this process that you and I and we need to understand very, very clearly. This was all the work of the Holy Spirit working in human beings. And Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. In other words, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or any of the other prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, they didn't say, you know, I think I'm going to write down some things about God. Not how it worked. Peter says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. So they didn't go out and say, let's get together and find out what God thinks. No. Men, women were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So God, the Holy Spirit, moved them. It's a sailing term, the verb defined as moved here. It's kind of like a boat with a sail and the wind catching that sail and carrying that boat along. So the Holy Spirit... into the sail of Paul and Peter and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and James. Just moved them along. So, the perfect Holy Spirit moved imperfect people to write a perfect scripture. That is the conviction here. And it's why Jesus just said all the time, your word is truth. You can put your full weight on it. Now, one of the biggest criticisms people have about people of the book is, Dennis, what you just said is circular reasoning. The Bible says it's true. I believe the Bible, therefore it's true. And I would say that's probably an accurate assessment if we were depending totally upon the Bible's own testimony of itself, because we don't. The critical thing to understand, it is very, very, very reasonable to be people of the book, because this is the most historically documented and accurate account ever written by mankind. And we build our conviction, and there's no question that there's a matter of faith in this, but we build this conviction on a series of realities, if you will, and external proofs, not just internal proclamation, but the external proof of archaeology. And this is where you can do a whole study on archaeology, because not all of archaeology will confirm what the Bible says, but when we discover in archaeology, none of it ever eliminates the Bible's perspective. So there is great historic accuracy here that's built on what we see when we dig in the ground, what we read from the various times of human history, because there's a lot of outside documentation that tells us this is a reliable document. And that's one of the fundamentals that people who are not yet Christians, they've got to come to grips with. Is this book accurate? Because it makes statements about science, about creation, about the stars and astronomy. It's not a science book, but all the explanations we get about nature and how it's created and everything that's out there, very plausible. Very, very plausible. Especially when you add to it all of the prophetic fulfillments, these predictions of Jesus of Nazareth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And you put all of that together, and we simply say, our conviction to be people of the book, it's not circular reasoning, but it is very, very solid sequential and logical reasoning that supports our conviction. And I don't know if you've come to that conclusion yet. It's a reasonable decision to make. And that reasonableness becomes the basis of the directive from the scriptures to you, to me, and to us in February of 2025. Becomes the basis of Paul's directive to Timothy. The challenge is really straightforward. Verse 14, Paul says, "You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." It's that verbal idea. The challenge is continue. Don't stop, don't quit, don't change. That idea. Don't get sidetracked in the historic context into theological theories or theological fads. Stay true. Stay true to what you have learned. Stay true to what you have become convinced of, what you firmly believe. And thus the challenge. Since the Bible is God-breathed, continue to trust and follow its principles for your decision-making. And for 86 years at Emmanuel Faith Church, this has been our bedrock belief that the Bible is trustworthy, and it continues to lead this church. So let's continue to hold fast to that conviction, because it's the continuing that sets us apart. It's one of the key characteristics that identifies a true Christ follower. Because our Lord has said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then you are what? Truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See? Continuing on this. So, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Come on. Did you? Let the truths of this book continue to fill your mind, your heart, and your life to such an extent that it determines and influences your decision-making throughout today. Don't quit. Keep following them. Stay a person of the book. Why should you? Because they have a proven track record. Verse 14, let's pull this apart now. Paul says, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Timothy had a very, very unique upbringing. He had a mom who loved the Lord. He had a grandma who loved the Lord. He was discipled by an apostle. And Paul used that experience as a reason for Timothy to continue trusting the principles. He says, you know what these principles did in your mom's life. You know what following these principles did in your grandma's life. You know what they did in my life and other people's lives. So you continue trusting them yourself. As David said, because the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times, you, O Lord, will keep them. Fully trustworthy. Now, you may not have been as blessed as Timothy. And maybe you didn't have a godly dad or a godly grandpa, mom or grandma, auntie or uncle. But I would just tell you, you've been a part of Emmanuel Faith Church for any period of time. You know how our past leadership committed themselves to continuing in this book and how it impacted their lives. The writer to the Hebrews said, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate them. They were people of the book. Look what it did for them. It'll do the same thing for you. I'm on staff here working with college students, and the senior pastor of Emmanuel Faith Church, Dr. Richard Strauss, was diagnosed with bone cancer. Horrible disease. And Richard, bless his heart, stood up in front of us and he said, for 20 years, I've had the great privilege of teaching you how to live. Now I get to teach you how to die. That kind of life, that kind of priority, that's worth copying. So for you today and every day this week, continue to trust and follow the teachings of this book because they've been tested time and time and time again. This is what will impact you mentally. This is what reaction you get. When you learn to think correctly and your mind is transformed, it influences decision-making and produces a godly life. It's the principles of this book. They have a proven track record to help us emotionally. When anxiety grabs a hold of my heart, what do I do? When fears are all around me, where do I turn? I turn to the truth of the book. When I watch loved ones get sick and the body breaks down, or I see babies born with defects, and I know that someday everything will be made right, and someday all those bodies will be transformed. Be made whole. It's got a proven track record mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's the principles of this book that answer the deepest question of my heart when I feel condemned, when I've messed up for the umpteenth time, and I feel ashamed that maybe I'm just this horrible person. And God's grace and mercy comes in. And the truth of this book helps me to have a God focus and that God concept that's true and accurate. Because when I think that God the Father's ticked off and always angry and just ready to smack me around, I can come back to the truth of this book and see him as the father to the prodigal son with arm extended and say, come here, you knucklehead, come on in here. Continue to trust and follow principles of this book. Secondly, their source of godly wisdom, that from childhood, verse 15, you've known the sacred writings which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wisdom in the Bible typically is defined as the ability to take what you know, the biblical principles, and put them into practice. So you want to know how to raise kids? Use the wisdom of the book. How to be a godly employee? Use the wisdom of the book. You want to know how to get along with each other when you disagree? Follow the principles of the book. Source of wisdom. A wisdom that will lead to salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, we follow this wisdom because it's God's perspective. That's our conviction, see? And so it's because of that conviction and the source of godly wisdom so that when our kids come to us and say, why is it wrong to steal? We can say, because the book says, thou shalt not do it. When people come and ask, why do you sacrifice your money to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to help widows and orphans? Why in the world do you do that? It's because the book tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. How about hooking up? We can talk, can't we, honestly? How about hooking up? Well, the book says, no, that's not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. See, these aren't suggestions. They're directives. And we can take these principles and we can put them into practice in February of 2025 because they have a proven track record. They're a source of wisdom because they're the best tool that we have for spiritual formation right now. Verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. It's useful. We could add the terms beneficial, productive, sufficient to get the full idea of the word. It's profitable for teaching. This tells us what to believe. For reproof or rebuke, where we get out of line. For correction, for training in righteousness. This book is what causes and brings about the spiritual growth in our lives as the Holy Spirit uses it. And we put it into practice, that spiritual transformation takes place. So, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Yes. Continue on. Trust and follow the principles of this book. Because the scriptures say the judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. It gives us profitable directions about how to address same-sex attraction, to battle depression, the proverbial dark night of the soul that we all go through, to find strength to endure. When we're confused, it gives us hope. And it doesn't just try to put a band-aid on deep hurt and grieving and loss. It allows for lament and it allows for the painful realities of life. but it's always going to call us to take a step of faith and to trust it. Because it has a proven track record. It has a source of wisdom. It's profitable for spiritual transformation. And it prepares you for the future. Verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This book will make you ready for whatever comes down the road. Prepared, whatever God sends our way. But I would tell you this, it won't do any good unless you continue to know and trust and follow Him. Let me give you an illustration that I hope will encourage you. I like to build stuff. And when my kids were little, they used to come out to help Dad. That's always a two-edged sword, isn't it? And so I said, sure, of course I want to help you. So I would get an old 2x4, I'd get some big 16-penny nails, and I'd say, drive that nail in. I'll come back and check on you. How many of you have done this? You know what I'm saying? All the dads, grandpas here. And you know what my kids would do? They'd get all over that. But they would get this hammer, and they would grab it way up here. And what would they do? And then they'd come back to me and said, Dad, it's not working. And I said, listen, it's not a problem with the wood, not a problem with the nail, not a problem with the tool. It's just that your arms aren't quite strong enough. So you just continue on. And it wasn't long until they got a little stronger in their hands, slipped down. They got a little stronger, their hands slipped down. And they got a little stronger. And they could drive a nail like I did. After like 23 smacks, I'd drive that nail in. Some of you are brand new to the Bible. It feels like you don't know nothing. The tool is good. You just got to get a little stronger in your arm. So continue on. Might feel like just tap, tap, tapping. But you need to become a person of the book, and you'll get a little stronger. You'll get a little stronger. The Bible says this is the way of blessing, that the woman or man, boy or girl, grandma and grandpa, looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not being a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer. This man, woman, boy, girl, grandma, grandpa shall be blessed in what he does. You want the blessing? Become a person of the book. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance, the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have. Everything feels hopeless at times. What gives me hope to keep going? Is that God's got this. And that's what the book says. So if you want to build up hope in your heart, keep going. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall think about it, meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in them. For then you will make your way, what's that word? Any of you want to be prosperous this week? And then you will have, anyone have a successful week? Continue to trust and follow. for 86 years. And for another 86 until the Lord returns. Emmanuel Faith Church, continue to trust and follow. The B-I-B-L-E, do you know it? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll be finished. All right, everybody take a really deep breath, will you? What's the Lord saying to you? What was the point for you? How's that heart of yours? And if you haven't done it before, will you affirm your commitment? To being a person of the book. And if any are here this morning and have not yet responded to the wisdom that is able to bring you salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the offer is extended to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Forgive all your sins. Bring you into the family of God. Nothing like it. Repent of your sin. It's killing you. Jesus, save me. I believe in you. I'm so sorry. I believe in you. I want you in my heart. I want to follow you. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Because we're listening.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.